Like, you know what? The bank account might not be what I expect, but I feel fulfilled. And if I die tomorrow, I did what I had to.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
I feel absolutely that way.
I think I'm talking because I'm pretty buzzed about it. Like 8.5.
Yeah, it's a percent, big beer. It's a 8, big beer.
8% alcohol. Yeah. I keep.
That's two coronas there, you know.
There you go.
A little bit more.
Welcome to the Charrosteca podcast, where we believe our families didn't come this far for us to just come this far. I am your host, Francisco Galvez, with my co-host,
Conrado Bautista.
You sound like a TV host or a locutor de una estación de radio.
There you go.
Tienes la cara de, ¿cómo se dicen?
No, más bien, cara, no, that's why I'm in the podcast. De,
la cara para
radio.
La cara para radio.
I'll stick to this.
Pero la voz.
Claro que man. Sí. ¿Qué pasa el concursante?
Míralo. Hey, I don't know. Hey, our listeners don't know. We never mentioned it, but you could sing.
I could. I like singing. I love singing.
You wanted to be a long time ago.
Just no confidence and nowhere to start. Y la cara, pues no ayuda.
Hey, man. But apart from that, like, I'm pretty pumped for our guest for today. Our guest, actually, we'll introduce him right now, but I come from Southeast LA. You come from Southeast LA. And my hometown, Bell, the city of Bell, where I grew up, I was raised, born and raised. Our guest today opened up a brewery there. Like,
mis meros moles.
But brewery where before he opened up this brewery in the city of Bell, breweries for me were BJ's in the city of Cerritos, right? In the bigger, more high class.
Sí.
High class towns, right?
Yeah.
And when I heard that there was a brewery coming to our hometown, our little hometown of the city of Bell, I was like, damn, what? Like, whoa, like, City of Bell is coming up. But look at just the impact of my mindset.
Right.
Like, people, like, we are deserving of this. And it's not that Absolutely. Our city was deserving, but our community was deserving.
Definitely.
And then the mindset shift of myself, I'm like, oh my God, like, my city is going to start coming. Maybe because of this brewery, then another business,
domino effect, dude.
And that helps. And I honestly believe that if the real change in our communities, in our countries, in our families, is entrepreneurship, like starting the businesses, you know? Either you start one or you go support one. And right. That helps the economics of our families, that Claro. Helps the economics of our communities,
Yep.
you know, where actually our money could stay within our community. Because right. if you look at the graphs, like Dude. Asian communities, the money stays within the community for Yes. a while. And the lowest on the graph is the Latino and the African American community. True, our bro. Money, we earn it, and it goes to Se Va Para. Yeah, so I'm super proud to announce our guest, and we'll introduce him right now. But before we do that, what is our review of the week,
bro? Claro que sí. Okay, so this one's coming from Jera's Automobile Detail. His title, Top 5 Podcast. From Jera's Automobile Detailing, thank you. Work has been amazing, and listening to you during the... doing your work is a blessing. Love what you are doing to our people and for our people. Y'all have taken the platform and put our people in the spotlight. From struggles to triumphs to mentorships and resources, if you do not apply what you have learned, you have no one else to blame but yourself. Thank you again. Continue to produce amazing content. Dude, that's awesome. That's why we do this. ¿Sí o no, Paco?
Yeah, and we're not giving the person a polished, you know? We decided since the beginning. It's going to be raw because we need the person listening to know that apart from learning from the failures, that's what you see all the time. Oh my God, he's an overnight success. Like, I honestly believe we could learn more from our failures.
Yes.
You know, that's why if we could learn from someone's like, oh my God, like, they're just like me. That means that, we're all like you. And then you could also start a business. Yes. You could also be successful in your way. And that's the beautiful thing that separates success. Because some people might be like, well, man, success is just you're born with it or you're chosen. And like, no, you earn it. You earn it from experiences, from reading, from hustling.
How bad you want it.
And then you mix a little of luck. you know? But yeah, there's always a saying, the harder you work, the luckier you get, you know?
I love that.
And I want to introduce now, like, so I want to introduce our guest, David Favela from Border X Brewery. Welcome, brother.
Man.
Thank you for coming, man.
Thank you, guys. I'm really happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. So what do you think so far? I think you heard a little bit about our podcast, our intro, and what we do from our review. Like, I think you could relate to what you are hearing from your business, from Border X. Like, they're saying, thank you for coming. Thank you for putting us up there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, if you check our Facebook reviews, Google reviews, Yelp reviews, all of that, we have surprisingly high reviews. Nice. You know, Facebook, I believe our Barrio Logan facility has like 500 reviews, and we still have a perfect 5-star.
Awesome.
And the funny thing is, it's not because I think we're perfect. Obviously, as an entrepreneur, you always see room for improvement, and you see all the defects, not all the positives sometimes. But I think what our customers are saying is, órale.
Yeah.
They're giving us 5 stars because, you know, they're like down with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because it's not like every day sale algo for the people, from the people, you know? Dude, absolutely.
And I get people, you know, who hit me up at the bar and they look at me and they say, you know, I feel like you created this space for me, you know, and I feel comfortable here. And, you know, they give you this kind of feedback and it pumps you up, you know, because I think at the end of the day, yes, it's a business. You know, yes, it has to make a profit. Yes, it has to succeed to exist, right? But the secondary benefit is that it really, I feel like I'm feeding people's souls in a way, you know, like uplifting our culture in a way that I never fully realized that we don't get every day. And, you know, just as an example, you know, think about all the places you go during a normal day, right? A bank, Starbucks, whatever. You don't see yourself. You don't see your music. You don't see your culture. You don't see, obviously, the people working there more than likely Latino, but you don't see anything about your culture. And that's, I think, what makes our place really different is you walk in, you're hearing the music, you're seeing the artwork made by local Latinos, and you're just like, yeah, this is me.
This is where I belong.
This is where I belong. They built this thinking of me. I think that's a big, that's like our secret ingredient in our business model, is really connecting emotionally with people.
Man, that's awesome, because I do feel like it was made for me. Even the names of a beer, like, so let's go with the names. Like, yes, let's first start with Border X, because it comes from, it has a meaning behind it. It's not just a cool name. It sounds cool, but there's a meaning behind it. Why Border X?
Oh, there's absolutely a meaning. I grew up in San Diego, and we used to go across the border, you know, every week in the town of Escondido where I grew up. There were no tortillerias. There were no Mexican markets. No, it was, so we'd jump in my dad's pickup truck and we'd go across and pick up tortillas in Tijuana. And the thing is, I grew up with this incredible just transparency between both sides of the border, right? And so when we thought about Border X, we were thinking about, you know, I'm a product of the border. Right. I love, you know, the Smiths and Morrissey and The Cure and all that stuff I grew up with, and I surfing and all this other stuff I did as a kid. But I also love going to Durango and riding horses and ranchando and doing, you know, having these incredible memories. And it's just like, it's a trip. And I think other people feel it too, is how do you reconcile? How do you put all those two things together? They're so different, you know? And so Border X is really about not thinking about those borders, but bringing in things that, you know, have never been combined before.
Right.
And our new generation, I think, is doing it in a way that I much love and respect. You know, I'm seeing, you know, Cholo Goth and rock charros and, you know, Metalachi, you've probably heard of. They're like heavy metal.
Like Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica. And it's just like, whoa, mind blown, you know? And I love it. You know, you should do that. You should keep hanging on to the things that matter to you. And so that's really what Border X is about. Don't get pigeonholed. Don't get trapped. Don't be one thing. Be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so some of the names for the beers, like, for example, I would assume, and this is the first thing I thought when I go to a brewery, do they have something similar to a Modelo?
I know. Yeah,
right. Like, because that's my beer. Like, that's what I would ask. Like, ignorant. I don't know about craft. Like, it's not my thing. But as a general consumer, like, that's my thing. Hey, do you have something like a Modelo? So in that case, like, do you get that? Do you get that at the...
We get that so much. In fact, we got it so much, we actually developed a beer that we brewed that we call Algo Light.
Algo light.
And you know why? People walk up and they're like, do you have algo light?
Perfect. Coming one up.
Absolutely. Here you go. Here you go. But we also get that Modelo and Tecate and Corona. And like they're like tripping, you know. But I love it because I take it as a challenge. You know, they walk up. I say, hold on. I don't have it, but try this. And I start serving them little tasters. And they're like, whoa, this is really good. Yeah, give me one of these.
That's badass.
I don't know what it's called, but I like it.
So this one that I have in my hand, it's called Horchata Gold.
Yeah, Horchata Golden Stout. It's a wonderful beer inspired by horchata, but we don't put rice in it, which horchata has. We're really inspired by the vanilla notes. Vanilla, so yeah. It has real vanilla tincture. And then it has a touch of cinnamon because you don't want something to be all sweet only. You want it to be creamy, smooth like horchata, but then with a little bit of that cinnamon at the end to kind of cleanse the palate.
I don't know. The person listening, maybe the YouTube person will know, but I just opened it. Like, I'm thirsty, and this thing has a little vanilla taste into it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so the person that is actually in Southeast LA or realm, they have to go to Border X. And apart from that, you have Abuelita coffee.
Abuelita.
And then you have another
chocolate
one.
Chocolate stout,
yeah. Yeah, and then you have one that has agave.
Yeah, that's our Blood Saison. That was actually our first Mexican-inspired beer. You know, when we first started, we were on the border in Otay Mesa, a little industrial warehouse. And me, my brother, my two nephews who formed the company, and my two nephews are the principal brewers, were like thinking, you know what? And it's really interesting because it's a very conscious choice. Are we going to be like every other brewery in town? I mean, we're the 86th brewery in San Diego. 86. Oh, wow.
Really?
Now there's 200. And if you go to most of their business plans of these 86 breweries in San Diego, all of them say, brew the best IPA in town. Mm. It's like, what? You know, we're going to do it. We're going to go out and compete with 85 breweries to see if we can out IPA them. And we thought it was ridiculous. And at that time, I had just read a book called Blue Ocean Strategy. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Do I want to be part of the crowd? Or do I want to kind of take a decisive step? And I said, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're Latinos. We're not Germans. We're not Irish. We're not, you know, English. So we appreciate those cultures. We appreciate the European brewing tradition and all of that. But we have to bring our Mexican roots to it. And but it was a generic decision. You know, we said, okay, well, let's do that. That sounds great. It was my nephew, Martin, who went off, brewed in his home brew kit, a beer inspired by Agua de Jamaica.
Wow.
That sounds good. Yeah, and he put a ton of agua hibiscus flower.
Hibiscus flower.
And the funny thing is, we were not the first brewery to use hibiscus flower. There's a lot of breweries that were using it at the time, but they're usually Weddell breweries.
Yeah.
So they're sprinkling a little bit. No, man, this is what it means to be Latino. We made it with a ton of hibiscus flowers, just like your abuelita, your tia, or your mom. And then a little bit of agave nectar to sweeten it up a touch. Hint. Yeah. Oh, and that became our best seller. I mean,
this is good, man. I don't know. Like, I keep drinking this, and this is good, dude. Like, I think I'm gonna switch. And you know how hard it is to switch from beers?
I know.
Switching barbers. To divorce one to go to another one, but
yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta taste it, right?
Yeah.
Like, some people are just so accustomed. We're creatures of habit.
We are.
Modelo and the team Tecates and the team whatever. But to be honest, like to be Team Border X, that's a beautiful thing. Like, they welcome me. They created this for me. They're not just trying to advertise to make a profit, which a lot of them are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's stories of Tecate, I think. No, of Modelo, like taking the water away from the people from Mexico.
Ooh, yeah,
milking it. Like, that's sad. Like, but how can you still be a Modelo drinker if they're fucking destroying, they're taking away from your home country or from your grandpa's country? But this is awesome, man. I thank you. And I thank you for bringing it to Bell. Because you started in Mesa de Otay, and then you took it to Barrio Logan. Barrio Logan, dude. Do you know Barrio Logan?
No idea.
In San Diego?
No.
That's a tough hood. And what made you go from there to Barrio Logan?
Well, so we were in our industrial park, and we opened on November 2nd, Dia de los Muertos, 2013, right? So that was our big opening.
Oh, man.
And someone reached out to me. They, you know, they said, hey, you got a really cool brand. We love what you're doing. Can you come and do a private tasting in Barrio Logan where there's an art show going on? And I was like, art show? Barrio Logan? Yeah, whatever. And went down there, and there's this like a little warehouse, and they'd set up a DJ and artwork, and it was full of just really creative Latinos, African-Americans, people of color, basically, in a situation I had never really been exposed to because I worked at Hewlett-Packard for 22 years in high tech, and I was serving my beer, and everyone was loving it, and it was just beautiful. And they called me up afterwards, and they said, hey, we got a spot for you in the neighborhood if you want to come down. We're opening up a little taco shop, a little art gallery, and the brewery would be the trifecta, right? The perfect mix.
Oh, yeah.
And to overcome the stigma of the neighborhood, because literally Logan Avenue at that time, all the storefronts were boarded up. It had a well-earned reputation. It was dangerous to go to Chicano Park, although it's a cultural, you know, legacy and icon there. And so me, La Bodega Art Gallery that specializes in Chicano artwork, and San Diego Taco Company that makes, you know, really bomb tacos. In fact, they were voted best in San Diego. And we just started there. And it was just the three of us. And people started coming. And it was really incredible. If you go there now, every storefront is occupied. And we really made an effort to try to make sure we were bringing in people from the neighborhood to start up sus tienditas, sus art galleries, sus cosas. Because there's a neighborhood in San Diego called North Park, and everyone would be like, oh, Barrio Logan's going to be the next North Park. I'm just like, no. Barrio Logan is going to be Barrio Logan. Yeah. We're going to try to have as many local businesses as we can. Yeah. And it taught us a lot. You know, Barrio Logan is deep in culture. Chicano Park, I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's been there over 50 years. I think they're going on 52 this April. And it's a national landmark now. And the interesting thing is Chicano Park made it cool for a Latino to be an artist.
Yeah,
you know, because the elders who painted the original murals are respected. They're loved by the neighborhood. You know, they walk down the street and everyone's like, señor, señor, señor. There's tons of respect. Now, imagine being in a regular, you know, neighborhood, and maybe your parents and other people may not understand what it means to be an artist. You know, como que, what are you going to do?
But that's awesome, because once you get the approval from the local cholos,
right,
you know, you're protected, right? And that's what happened.
Totally. Totally.
I think they got your back.
Like, yeah, it's within the first few weeks we were opening up, and I remember, you know, with the cholo lean, I mean, he's like walking sideways. Pelado, tattoos all over. I was like, oh man, what's about to happen? And he tells me, I love, you know, I've been watching you. I love what you're doing here, and we got your back. And it's been 7 years now, and everything's good.
Damn.
Everything's been good. And, you know, I think what people don't understand is, you know, the people in the gangs also have brothers, sisters, and uncles who are activists, who are community members, who are like, so if we get their blessing, you know, it's just like we're all down. You know, a lot of people didn't understand what we were about. But I would say right now, after 7 years of proving ourselves, people understand that every barrio deserves a space, third space to come together and celebrate. And we don't get that. I mean, if you look at a lot of communities around here, there is no third place.
No, yeah. And the third place from being from your home to work, but then where's the third place? The third place, Starbucks. Like, seriously?
Yeah, no.
Like, I'm tired of jazz music. Like, I don't want to have elevator coffee all the music. Damn time. I want to go get a beer, you know? Yeah. Like Conrado, if we're going to have a business meeting, let's go to Border X.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our meeting place, because it's our home. Like, beer, like, and so that's where I would want to go, and that's why I want to thank you to be in Bell. Like, it's an honor. Like, why Bell? Like, why did you choose Bell?
It's a great question. You know, I was looking for the heartbeat of Latino culture. You know, and obviously Boyle Heights has a ton of history, and I looked around there, but there was a lot of like gentrification issues going on there. And, you know, what broke the camel's back for me was there's a place there called Self-Help Graphics. It was started by a nun who's teaching kids and artists in the barrio how to do more artwork and sell their artwork. I mean, they've been there for 50 years. It was a nun, you know. They were being protested against.
What?
by a whole new generation of protesters. And you know, basically their argument was the protesters were saying that art galleries bring gentrification, even self-help graphics. And I was like, that's messed up. If I go to Boyle Heights, I would get, you know, excoriated, no matter what color my skin, you know, or no matter what my background is. So we decided to look further. And I love Southeast LA. You guys are just, I mean, it's the heart of LA. I mean, we're just south of downtown. Boyle Heights is over here, you know, Compton, Huntington Park. Yep. It's just, we're right there. And, you know, Bell's a great community. There's a high level of home ownership. There's a lot of blue collar pride. A lot of people have been there for 30, 40 years. They own their, you know, and we loved the building that we found, which was this abandoned bakery that was in terrible shape. You know, we'll post up some pictures and show folks what it transformed into. But yeah, so it was a combination of the city government saying, please, you know, come down. We'll be supportive. The building, and just the fact that geographically speaking and population-wise, it's 95% Latino too, and dense, super dense community.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a perfect space.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you, first of all. So now I really want to get deep into where does your family come from? How was your childhood? So I know that your family comes from Durango, from the Sierra.
Sierra. I mean, my dad lived most of his young life in log cabins. I mean, just to give you a feel of how Sierra it was. They ran cattle, you know, they farmed, they did all those things. My mom too. And then they lived in ranchos. I mean, it'd be a collection of four homes, wow. You know, out in the middle of the Sierra, right between Culiacan and Tepehuanes, Durango. And, it was a heck of an experience. My dad came over to the U.S. He first came to Chicago because he couldn't make a living. You know, it's just commodity prices for cattle, for meat and veggies and all that kind of stuff just dropped so dramatically. You couldn't really sell it, you know. And so they came to Chicago, then San Diego, and I was born there. But what I love about what my dad did is he would always take us back every summer. So we'd pile into his green Chevy pickup truck with a camper shell, sometimes go through, you know, Sonora.
Oh, man.
Other times go through all the way down Baja. And those are great road trips. I mean, so much fun. And then take the ferry across to Mazatlan and then drive up to La Sierra por el Cordillero del Diablo.
Yeah. Those dangerous roads out there.
Oh, my God. It's super dangerous. But, but I was born and raised in San Diego, so I was the first of seven kids to be born there.
And that was a boomtown at that point, right? The military?
Yeah.
I remember that. Like,
there was I actually wrote an essay in grad school connecting Reagan's, you know, military buildup policy and all the money that went to San Diego and how my dad, who worked construction, was able to build, you know, track homes for in a very stable environment for probably 20 years. And, you know, he was a concrete finisher, so that was a good-paying job. So it's really weird to see how, you know, big decisions like, oh, America is going to fight Russia and we need to spend money, and that money came to San Diego, and my dad became a skilled tradesman, and luckily he created a safe environment for all of us.
That's awesome. So then apart from that, you Latino, older Latino, not newer ones, they're big.
Oh,
we're talking about 12, 19. I had 18 tios from my mom and 12 tios from my tios.
13 and 12 for me, mom and dad, 12 and then 13 over there.
You came from a big family. And I think you have like, it's seven of you guys and you're the youngest.
Yeah, and we're the small family. My dad. My dad and mom's side, I mean, my dad mostly, I think they were 11. They are 11 uncles and aunts. And tristemente fallecieron two. You know, so that would have been, you know, 13, you know. So there was just no, what do you call it, conceptions?
Yeah.
Anti-conceptivos. kind of mixed up English and Spanish there.
No Instagram, no YouTube, no DirecTV.
But those are beautiful memories. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to encourage, hey, go have more babies and shit. But it was good because then, like, you had the little crews of the little cousins, right? Like, and that was a beautiful experience. Thinking back my childhood, like, it was, I couldn't wait to see my primos and we're freaking desmadre y medio, travesuras. Now it's like, what's your username for your PlayStation or your Fortnite? Yeah. Like, there's no human interaction, you know? There's no mugre in the next. Like, remember that? Like, coming back, mugre in the next. Getting the jeans ripped from the knees from being in the floor all day.
Oh, dude.
So how was it for you growing up?
It was a blast. The trips down to Durango, I have to say, were some of the highlights. Because like you said, it was a army, you know, and everyone's like, you know everybody. They're all roughly around your age or a little older, a little younger. And we would go fishing in the river there in Durango. And we didn't use poles. I guess they call it noodling. You put your hands underneath rocks and stuff. And sometimes you get a snake and sometimes you get a fish.
Are you serious?
Yeah, seriously, because you just have to grab whatever you feel. So it was exciting. You know, and we rode a pickup truck and I would sit in the spot above the cabin. You know, so all the trucks have lumber racks.
Yeah.
And then above the cabin, they would have like a little cage, you know, to put whatever hay bales. And we'd be up there with, you know, BB guns, just tearing down.
Yeah, that's badass.
I mean, if my mom knew what we were up to, she would have a heart attack. But that was a blast. So I always loved the Mexico experience. It left a huge imprint on who I am, you know, and really having a base. I couldn't imagine who I would be now without having all those experiences.
Right. Yeah, no, dude, you're right. That really makes who you are because myself, las resolteras, just breaking windows, just matando lagartijas, but really just aventando cohetes con las resolteras in the neighbors' homes because they don't have roofs. You know, the firework goes in there just, you hear people screaming inside, y córrele. You see, this stuff is like, okay, it just makes your childhood a lot more alive. You're just alive, you know, in the adrenaline, you're going to get caught. Correle. And then the weaker always, you know, get him, the slowest one, chingalo. Yeah. So it kind of helps you, the fight or flight, you know, mentality.
The secret to have a nice childhood is vandalism, right?
Yeah, there's a fair amount of that going on.
But then apart from that, like you're right, like how was it being Mexican, American, growing up in a city? Because at that point, I doubt it, at that point it was condensed how it is now with Latinos.
Yeah.
Like how
it's
was it going
different.
To school? Correct. So, so going to school, first language, I'm assuming Spanish, then the teacher's English. Like how was that whole thing?
Oh, it was freaking awful. I mean, there was no ESL. We were few Latino families in that city, so they didn't know how to deal with us.
Right.
And so I remember getting dropped off at kindergarten. I hated it. I mean, I traumatically still remember, you know, trying to run away. And I ran away a lot from the school when I was that age. And they just didn't know what to do with me. I didn't speak English. They didn't speak Spanish. And so I had traumatic memories, like not being able to ask to go to the bathroom. So literally, you know, going to the bathroom on your own. And it was awful. And so what happened is I failed second grade like 3 times. They didn't, you know. I remember.
Repeat that again. How many times?
3 times. I think, you know, there's your school system for you. And the funny thing is when they finally figured out I was going to be way too old and that they had held me back too much, they like I skipped third and jumped into fourth grade. So,
oh my God.
It was insane. And, you know, in that period when I was failing, they gave me these tests, you know, the ink blot test. I remember that, the square peg and a round hole. I mean, yeah. So I don't know what they determined, but they said this kid's got problems. And they sent me away to a learning disabled school, you know, a specialty school about, I don't know, 45 minutes away in the short bus. And I hated it there. You know, there were students there with a lot of really serious issues. And and so I ran away and I hid out in the library. And at the library, you know, I was looking around at the books and I found a book that had a picture of a guy flying through the air with little wings on his ankles. Turn the page, see a lady with, you know, snakes for hair. And I was like, dude, I don't know what's going on, but I got to find out. This is insane. This is like really got my attention. And I literally would read as much as I could trying to decipher things and, you know, identifying certain words, the and this and that and other things. And, you know, I taught myself to read. And within the year, I mean, talk about like a total flip. I mean, I went from not being able to read at all or speak English to being like, I remember, I think in the fifth grade, I would go to the library, and I'd already pretty much read everything in the library.
Oh,
and
wow.
I remember that I had this sense of pride. So there was a book. I looked for the thickest book in the entire library, and it was a book called Little Women, and they made a movie about it now. I'm like, I'm going to read that. And yeah, I read it like twice. So I was ready, you know, out of elementary school, I was already like light years ahead of where I was. I mean, it's really interesting to think what that kind of reading, I mean, obsessive reading all night long, during breakfast, you know, during school, just read everything. And it's really interesting to think about what that does to your brain in a good way. You know, it's like working out, you know, your brain and your vocabulary and your logic and reasoning and all kinds of stuff.
You know, what I'm getting from this, Paco, besides society kind of signaling and pointing and saying, oh, you are this and you're that. Yeah. You just didn't give a shit, man. In second grade, you're like, fuck you guys. And like, eso no me llama la atención, you know? Yeah. Here, I got this book. I don't know what the heck it's saying, but look, I'm going to make the effort. And besides all the noise out there in the real world, these 6 inches between your ears, that's all that really matters. Yeah. And you just like, you did what you love doing. And look, it pays off. And that's what the podcast, we always talk about, dude. Like, don't worry about getting likes and getting accepted and oh my God, hopefully they recognize me for it. Who gives a shit? Keep going. Besides what they think or besides what they tell you, the negativity, you kept going, man. And mira, light years ahead of the crowd, just by picking up, being obsessed with books. Yeah. And mira, it just opened up your whole...
I want to piggyback off of that because the book, right? And I think it's deeper than just the book. I think it'd be like...
It's an escape.
You found curiosity.
Yeah.
And I think curiosity in a child. And I was an 18-year-old child when I found my curiosity because I grew up all through the system and I was like, I hate reading because the teacher's trying to shove this to memorize
and put it
on a test. But once I read my first book, I was like, oh man, I enjoy reading. Let me go read more and let me read more. And then I started, but that's because I found an enjoyment. So the person that hates reading is just that they haven't found
the right book.
The right book. And if you're a makeup tutorial, then read more about the makeup tutorial people or their biographies. But that's a beautiful thing. It's not just the book itself, but the education part. Mm-hmm. Like that, oh man, I enjoy learning, you know, and that's what you started doing. And then eventually you started getting academic awards, right? Yeah. And how was that for your mom and your dad? Like seeing the person that had flunked out three times from second grade to like, oh, damn, I'm getting academic awards now.
Yeah, well, there's this interim where I just kept reading a lot. And then by the time I got into high school, I loved sports. So I was, you know, lettered in football, wrestling and cross country. And track. And you know, I had a great time in high school, so I can't say I was a great student, but I kept reading. And when I finally applied myself, a really interesting story, there was a girl I had a crush on.
Oh, damn.
You know, I won't say her name, embarrass her. But she was my lab partner in biology.
Oh,
and it was the first time I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to put some effort into this school thing.
Okay.
And because I wanted to impress her and we had a good time. So we do lab projects and dissecting and, you know, frogs and all that crazy stuff. And we finished it's a self-paced biology class. So I was like, hey, you know what? Because I wanted to go surfing and go to La Jolla. So I convinced my professor, hey, let me and Lori leave because it was the last course.
You just said her name.
We're going to go to UCSD and I'm going to write a report on steroid use and muscle development. And I'm going to get original content from the university library. I was like, okay, sounds good to me. So he, I don't know, signed some papers, made it happen. So Lori and I, how are you saying her name? We would head down to La Jolla, which is a beautiful place. And, and then I would get the books and stuff, but I'd read them at home. And we wrote an essay for extra credit. So I got like an A++, you know, in that course in biology. And the professor was like, dude, I'm going to nominate you. He didn't tell me. He just nominated me and then, you know, told me to show up with my family on such and such date. And I'm like, what? You know, because I had never won anything.
Wow.
And yeah, they call my name and, you know, I'm the Academic Achievement Award for biology and the paper. And I was like, man. And then I started trying. So my senior year, I did much, much better. But the base though is the knowledge was always there. You know, I just didn't feel like school was relevant to me, you know. Didn't make the connection. And then once I went to college, no, olvídate. Now I was like 100%. I'm not going to waste my time here. I'm going to make something happen. So I was straight A's, valedictorian. Well, no, I wasn't valedictorian, but straight A's, a whole bunch of scholarships. Went to Princeton, got the Woodrow Wilson Fellowship. And
Princeton?
Yeah. Wow. Princeton. Oh, yeah, wow. Princeton. Yeah, Princeton. You're right.
No, Princeton.
Yeah.
No Princeton. Some kind of Durango school. Princeton. Yeah. No. The Princeton.
New Jersey, Princeton. Yeah.
Wow.
That was crazy.
And so you got your master's in business?
Yeah, MBA in international management.
Dude, wow. So then, man, that's...
Wow. It's a whole other level right there.
So then from there, like, how did the idea came? So you worked after you graduated, you started working at a company, right?
Hewlett Packard,
HP. Yeah. Then from there, where did the idea come from to actually start BorderX? You had your salary, your benefits, your right?
I had a great job. I have been at HP for 22 years. I was the global head of educational solutions. So we'd sell computers and softwares to countries. You know, I was doing deals with China, you know, Holland, South America. So I had a small team. It was wonderful. But my brother and I and my two nephews decided to start a business because I just wanted to do a business with family.
Okay.
Which sounds crazy to most people.
Yes. I was like, wait, what?
But, you know, I had no aspirations. I said, let's just put some money together, do a little business, making beer. The boys love to make beer. Let's have some fun with it. It was only like $5,000 or $6,000 from each of us to start it.
Not bad.
No.
But, okay, so let me rewind a little bit. Okay, it's Hewlett Packard. Computers, a whole other gadgets and tech, right? And dealing with international sales and all that stuff. Okay. So from there, I'm assuming your nephews is the first one that started brewing their own beer at home, right?
Totally. They got a Christmas gift. And so, that, you know, that...
The little kids.
The little kids.
That's where they started. Yeah. So they started getting good at it. I'm assuming you try it. It was like, wait, I'm onto something here. Like, when did the little light bulb just ding?
I think it started, they were home brewing and they would bring beer to the family parties.
Okay.
I was amazed when I first started tasting my first IPA. It was through my nephews, not at a bar or anything like that. And it was so fresh and flavorful and just, even my mom was like, you know, we started giving her a growler all the time because she's like, I really like this beer. It wasn't, you know, skunky or weird or, you know, chemically.
Right.
It was delicious. Fresh. That was the inspiration.
Wow. So from there, you said, okay, did you hate your 9-to-5? Did you hate it per se? You loved it. That's the part to me is crazy. I understand when you hate it, you really want to get out of there. That's your motivation to get out and start your own. But you love yours.
Yeah.
So how did you do it to get up and leave? I mean,
it was hard. It was hard because I loved what I did. I worked in education. And, you know, from my own story, I know the value of education. So it was really personally important to me.
Right.
But once we started up this brewery, I was starting to split my time, you know, do weekends at the brewery and, you know, weekdays for HP. And I think I did that for 2 years, kind of burning the candle at both ends.
Oh, man.
But we had so much success with the brewery that it kind of organically grew beyond our expectations. Wow. And, you know, by 2018, I was like, we were expanding here to LA. And I go, you know what? Now's the time. You know, I got to make the jump and I got to get serious and really drive the business, which I knew I could. And it was sad leaving HP. I mean, I was there 22 years, dream job. But I loved my customers more. I love that contact. And I felt like this was something that I could really work on for the next 10, 15 years of my life. So, no fue fácil.
No, claro que no. So, you just said, that's it, 100%, I'm out, HP, bye, thank you. And just, that's it, a dale duro.
And I have, and, you know, honestly, I wouldn't do anything different. I mean, obviously, I would have probably been financially better off. HP. We won't get into that.
Wow.
Dude. I'm playing the long game, not the go.
That's the love right there. We talk about all the time. You got to love what you got to be passionate in order for you to echarle ganas, to get motivated. You need to love it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to last. And mira, you took a cut in pay, benefits.
Yeah.
Dude, like, my props. I swear to God, like, this is badass. Que
chingón. But I would say, yes, like what he did for himself and try, but hard. What he's doing for the community.
No, that
now yeah, that dude. Is something that money cannot buy.
No.
Like I could imagine how the feeling gets when people like thank you.
Yeah.
For being here. And then you're supporting and you're educating and then you're welcoming artists and then you're being part of the community and you're like yeah. you're inspiring. Apart from that, like you talk about burning the candles from both sides, but just remember that candle, even if it has a little dim light, I could put my candle that's not dim and put it toward yours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't know who eventually you're inspiring.
Yeah.
You're inspiring me and then I'm inspiring yeah, them and then them and them. And
that's a big part of it. You know, one of the critical moments was, I think it was in the third or fourth year, we're in Barrio Logan, and there's a guy there named Chunky. He was a musician. He's passed away. Oh. That marched with Cesar Chavez. Oh, so wow. If you ever see any of that footage of Cesar Chavez protesting, you know, the grape boycott and whatnot, there was a guy with, you know, playing the guitar and singing the protest songs. And so he lived in Barrio Logan. Now, he was getting up there in age, and they were doing a documentary about him, and we wanted to raise awareness and money. So he came and played in our space.
Wow. Dude.
And I'll send the photos to you guys so maybe you can post it up. But, you know, he was in a wheelchair at that point, and they wheeled him in, and he had volunteered and taught hundreds of other kids and adults to play the guitar and sing. So our brewery, which fits about 100 people on the inside, was completely packed. A whole group of his former students were all dressed in white, you know, white cotton outfits and their guitars and the sombreros. And he was so happy to see this like circle of love like he had created throughout his entire life. And there was even a biker gang outside, Los Cabrones, and they love him too. So they were wow. just like, so everybody, even out on the street, it was just like, you couldn't put more people in the building. And I remember when he just started playing, De Colores was the song, the traditional one. And the whole brewery just exploded with sound and everyone was singing chills, together. Dude. No, I still get chills. God. I almost want to cry sometimes when I think about that memory. But when you talk about like, okay, take the safe route, stay at HP, or be a pioneer and do something that's important for the community.
Sick, dude. Get so happy.
And that was like one of those moments where I said, you know what? I am fulfilled. You know, if yo no sé qué pasa mañana, yeah. but whatever I've done up to now has led to this moment, and I want to keep going down this path. I don't know where it leads, but I got to keep going down.
Man, and everybody's going to have to, everybody that wants to join that path is going to have faith. And there's a saying that we've said in the podcast many times before. There's the two most important days of your life is the day that you were born and the day that you realize why you were born. And a lot of people never hit that second one. They work 40 years for a company for working for their dream. You're working for someone else's dream and never for your own. And sometimes that exchange, it's corrupted by money. Like, if I make more money, like I have to make, if I quit my job, I have to make more money in the business, but it's not like that. It's more of a spiritual bank account.
It's a fulfillment. Like,
a fulfillment part. Because you could work for 45 years, get your benefits and have an awesome bank account and the whole thing, but you might feel
empty
still inside. Lonely, and then on the other side, talk to me about business. Like, man, there's ups and downs, roller coasters. The bank account is up and down. The emotions are up and down. COVID happens and things like this, like all these curveballs. But going back into them, I'm like, man, I survived. You survived. Yeah. And those are the most beautiful memories. Like, you know what? The bank account might not be what I expect, but I feel fulfilled. And if I die tomorrow, I did what I had to.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
I feel absolutely that way.
I think I'm talking because I'm pretty buzzed about it. Like 8.5.
Yeah, it's a percent, big beer. It's a big beer.
8% alcohol. Yeah. I keep...
That's two coronas there, you know.
There you go.
A little bit more.
So what I'm getting about, like, with the story, and thank you for coming, it's I think that first book, and there's no coincidences, right? Everything does happen, you know. Yep. And I think it didn't happen to you, it happened for you. Yeah. The getting flunked from second grade, they send you to this place that you wanted to hide. You went into the library. And something so simple, so insignificant of picking up a book that sparked your curiosity. Yeah. And that's how a forest fire starts, just with a spark.
Yeah.
And look at now, look at the waves that you are creating. Look at what I feel. Look at what people like. I could guarantee you the reviews. Mm-hmm. It's a reflection of what you have inspired. So that spiritual bank account, like we are here to back you up. Like the Cholo said, we got your back. and that's what we come into. And that's what we have to educate people, like, have the money stay. You have a choice. You have the most powerful voting power in your wallet. Yeah. You could choose to go to a corporate brewery, or you have the choice to go to a local small business brewery that is made for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I think now with this generation, it's actually taken more seriously, right? Like, I feel like you're getting more of the activism, more of the artist, where before it was just, give me the cheap beer.
Well, you know, there's a generational shift afoot. I mean, so when I worked in the educational field, I was looking at statistics for here in California and the United States. In California, 60% of the kids in kindergarten through 12th grade are Latino.
60%.
Wow. As a population, I think we're like at 40 overall, especially here in Southern California. But in the schools, it's 60%.
Wow.
And I find that is huge. Like, there are waves and waves of new generation coming up. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they become the tastemakers, how they become the influencers, how they express the unique assimilation of their identity, you know, Latino and here American, and putting it together. And I expect to see really exciting stuff. So I'm kind of betting on the long game. And that's why we're taking our step is we think that we're part of that process, you know, of helping create this new identity. Because the truth is, ni somos de aquí, ni de allá. Yeah,
we always talk about that. So true.
So there's an identity emerging, and I want to be part of it. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's interesting. You got to have faith and just let go and say, pues vamos, juntos, and we'll develop this kind of identity, this thing. Because let me, a little bit of politics is, I think there used to be a model where if you wanted to be an American, well, speak English.
Yeah.
Olvídate español.
¿Verdad?
You know, eat, you know, apple pie and steak. And it's like, wait a second, that's German. That's not American. You know? Yeah. And, you know, so the taco is just as American now as a sandwich and a hamburger. And now people eat salsa instead of ketchup. I mean, we are influencing the nation as all immigrant groups have influenced the nation. And now as we become the majority, you know, it's going to be exciting. So I wanted to have a brewery that was part of that. I'm just part of a small part of this major wave that I think is coming in a good way.
Yeah. And there's waves. Like, if you're not indigenous, if you're not a Cherokee, then you're like your family came here in a boat or somehow on the river or jumped a border or some on a banana boat, whatever it is. But you had your influence, and and people don't understand that. People see just the color. Or they just see but they don't study history. That's why reading is so important, because then you could go into your curiosity of like reading history. Oh, I hate history. A lot of people hate history. I love it, because then you could follow whatever has happened before can happen now.
Right.
Yeah. The Italian waves, the Irish waves, like all of that. Like, now it's our wave. And then 40 years from now, it's going to be another wave. I could guarantee you. But every single wave of immigrants that have passed through this beautiful country, I would say maybe, and we have to separate the country from the people in charge.
Right, no, it's separate
completely
things.
Completely different. Yeah. But this country, what it stands for, we can make it stand for that. Like, exactly. Because we, like, as, like, you're an example of it. You know, we are an example of it. And we have to influence the new generation, like, that they could actually, that they have the power.
Yeah.
There's a thing that you mentioned a while back ago, which is about the Chicano movement. One of the parts about the Chicano movement is actually to own your property, right? And a lot of people don't understand that.
Right. Well, there, you know, it's really interesting. There was a document issued by the Chicano movement. It was called Plan de Aztlán. And at that time, there was an ownership, you know, platform. They're like, what is the economic platform for the Chicano movement? And it was surprisingly very agrarian, kind of more focused on acquiring farms, and which kind of made sense because I come from a farming background, right. And, you know, people think in those ways. But I don't know how relevant that is to our next, you know, our generation and the next one. I think it's more about home ownership. I think it's about entrepreneurialism. I think it's, you know, the Chicano movement should, like, embrace these things because those are the things that I think – will help us. In fact, I call it Chicano 2.0.
For real.
So the first Chicano movement was really about identity, political power, and asserting ourselves, saying, hey, aquí estamos, you know?
Y no nos vamos.
Y no nos vamos.
And now the focus, you're right, it's passing on wealth to the next generation, yes. Our kids, viene siendo yeah. los que siguen. And the best way to do it is through real estate. We yeah. invest now. Everything's going to keep on going up. If we pass it on to them, free and clear, paid for,
yeah.
now they're not going to be stuck to a 9-to-5. They yeah. can actually pursue whatever they love. And, mm-hmm. dude, the wave keeps on going right there. You know?
Generational wealth.
Yeah. Catching on.
There's a saying that's like, if you didn't come from a wealthy family, let a wealthy family come from you.
Yep.
And I think that's mm-hmm. where the power comes from, because that's what other generations have done. Old money, right? That's what yeah. it's
old
called.
Old money, that's yeah. it.
And what are we doing? Are we just freaking putting 24-inch rims on our truck and spoiling ourselves? Or are we actually starting something that has value, like yeah. a business or
yes.
or buying real estate, something that you could pass to us next generation?
Something tangible, something besides just hopes and thoughts and dreams. Because I remember growing up, my mom, you know, oh, si yo hubiera nacido aquí, yo hubiera sido una abogada chingona. I'm thinking, yeah, right. You know, like, sure you were. But besides, these are our hopes and dreams and wishes. But leave something realistically. Like, hey, mijo, look, here's the keys for my brewing company. Oh, here's the key to that house that's paid for up in the hills. Or yeah. algo chingón, where that way they don't got to worry about where am I going to live for the rest of my days or whatever. That way, just focus on what they love, pursue it, yeah. and just pass it on. And that's the thing with Chicanos and you know, Black también communities, that we don't have that wealth no. to pass on. And it's not because somos mensos, or it's not nothing to do with mm-hmm. that. It was designed that way. Not trying to go into too much politics, but redlining in my industry, I'm in mortgages, yeah. mm-hmm. and redlining was a thing. It yeah. was abolished at Benes in 68. So that really means that we cannot lend money to certain areas. In this case, in the barrios, mm-hmm. we couldn't lend. As bankers, we couldn't lend money there.
Yeah.
So, ¿qué pasa? All these people were renters their whole lives. ¿Qué van a pasar to the next generation? Nada. Mm-hmm. Entonces, that creates a whole mentality of,
yeah.
fuck it, I'll just keep renting. I'll keep YOLOing. Y, you know, you know what I mean? That's become a thing now. Pues chingas de madre, I'll spend $400 on a bottle at a bar yeah. and a nightclub yeah. on the weekend. I'll work Monday through Friday for the next weekend. Let's party it up again. And we gotta get away from that shit. And this is the best way. Spark ownership mentality. Like yeah. just entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and there's a thing that the product itself is the product, but the experience that you
that
give
you hit it,
and what you stand for, it's more important.
Yes.
Because those are the ones that are going to leave something behind.
Claro.
When we started Charro Azteca, that was the main thing. I'm like, what are we going to leave behind? Like right now, if I die, cool. Mm-hmm. Charro weddings are in style. You know,
that thing again.
Like charrito baptisms. And I'm not in a selfish, egotistical way, but I feel proud that I was a little granito de arena that influenced that. To get popular.
Right, right.
And if you take that into consideration, any business you are alone, like if yep. you take, like you're a loan officer, but dude, how proud are you that someone was able to buy their home?
See,
another Latino was
huge.
As a brewery, like what I'm saying is that for the person listening, they might be, well, you own a brewery, you own a Charro Azteca, and you're a loan officer. But dude, whoever, even if you start an accessory, a jewelry store, you got to stand for something more than just the product itself. You got to stand for something bigger. And trust me, people are listening. People want that. People are noticing little by little that they want to vote with their dollar.
Right.
To where it means, especially from last year. I think last year, 2020, with whatever had happened and COVID, people are realizing supporting small business.
Yeah.
And I think that
so
was a
crucial
catalyst of like, boom, we got to help these small businesses because, dude, they're struggling. Restaurants and things like that.
Just keep it local. Keep it here, revolving here, you know?
Yeah. And I feel fucking proud to the point where we do catch up to these other communities like the Asian, where our money stays within our community.
Right.
From brown to brown to brown, and we're helping each other out.
Yeah. Dude, and you hit it right on the nail, man. Yo, cuando started my days, I first had to learn it. Dude, this is whole mindset. Everything opens up. I was raised with siempre comprarlo cash. Otherwise, you can't afford it. Credit cards are bad. Credit is horrible. Don't do this. No. When I learned it the right way, I had to teach that to my people. Mm-hmm. And we did seminars. And man, the sense of just, dude, I felt so proud when finally somebody's eyes like, oh, like owning a home is not impossible. That's not for the gringos or for anybody else. It's for us too. Yeah. And showing them how. You see, most of my customers, when they used to walk in, we always have paper cutters, like cookie cutters, pardon, cookie cutters where if you don't make this much, you don't make this by W-2, you don't qualify. Sorry. Our people's income is creative. Yeah. We rent out el pinche closet. We rent out a garage. We got to do what we got to do. We'll cut yards on the weekend.
Two side hustles.
We'll make it happen. But it's not about do we have enough to make it. Yes, we have enough, but shit, we don't show it. Yeah. So we as a Latino loan officer, I got to get creative and say, okay, open up a business account. Start depositing there. Do a DBA. Do this. So most lenders be like, sorry, you don't qualify. Next, they kick una patada, ya sabes dónde, adiós.
Yeah.
Me, no, dude. I took it like, no. I'm going to get you in this home because I saw it, dude. I saw like my mom and a random lady. I saw my abuelito and a random señor que quiere una ownership. And these people literally cry when denied. So like, okay, we got to do something about it. Yeah. So it's that love that now, dude, they still call me. Their kids are calling me now buying homes. I have been in this industry 19 years and their kids are calling me. Like, hey, ahora sí, mi hijo ya está calificando. Wait, he was just in kindergarten. Like, what are you talking about? Dude, he has a job. He this and that. He wants to buy his home. And I just met with some random wife and then the kid, that's the husband, se casaron. Long story short, the mom started crying. I took my wife ese día because I wanted to carpool it. And my wife was like, I had no idea, like, the impact that you have. Like, yeah, it's because you have to live it. I mean, we could be here all day talking about the impact, pero it's a little spark que, como dice Paquito, it ignites a whole forest, dude. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Because now that kid's going to have a chance to have his home and families from there. It's just we have to help each other out, dude. And we need more of a unity between our community. Si no la tenemos, we're going to just face off, dude. Face off.
Man. So for you, I guess my last question is, where are you guys heading? Like, so from Mesa Dotay to Barrio Logan to the City of Bell, like what's next? So people could start expecting, like, what's coming.
Yeah, you know, coming to Bell, we were trying to understand and replicate the Barrio Logan experience. So Barrio Logan went from being a neighborhood, with boarded up storefronts and, not good things happening, but rich in culture. And now when you go to Barrio Logan, it's a whole block. We're on the tourist map now. I mean, we get so much visitors. But the thing is, we're doing it in a way where we're representing ourselves. That's way we want to represent ourselves, not someone else. Yeah. You know, we're not Taco Bell or something like that. You know, so everyone on the block gets vetted, gets supported. And awesome. I got to tell you, just a shout out to what you're saying. That little experiment on Logan Avenue, I'm telling you, there's three big businesses like mine. Now, the taco guy is Salud. He's got a huge business. And then there's another place called Barrio Dog that's experimenting, with bacon-wrapped dogs, but doing it really creatively. and then a ton of little smaller shops of, from jewelry to paintings to artwork. And it's a beautiful thing. And there's no way I could have survived this COVID pandemic without that network.
Wow.
Without that network. One of the smaller vendors had the idea to do this thing called Walk the Block.
Walk the Block. That's pretty cool.
And so people don't go into the stores. We put it all out on the street and the sidewalk, and people would walk the block.
Nice.
Oh, my God. You know, I think that the first one was in August, and our sales were three or four times what they were on a regular Saturday. And we're still doing it, and it is saving us.
Wow.
But again, it's just an example of just someone, who's part of this network saying, hey, I have an idea. Why don't we do this?
Working together.
And it just saved us. I mean, all of us. So we love that. I actually when I went to Princeton, I was actually studying economic development because I had this dream about going back to the ranchos and rancherias and helping, figure out how people don't have to immigrate, where they, because my mom and dad loved where they were. They had to come in order to support their kids. And so anyways, I've always had this interest around how do we create economic development in our own communities. And so Barrio Logan has been this great experiment. And then we want to kind of take that to Bell. it's a lot harder. We're learning a lot more things. We need that community to come together. And then, right. you know, we got hit with COVID and it just kind of all flew apart. So we didn't have a chance to kind of create that critical mass yet in Bell. It's getting there. The people have been wonderful. They've been supporting us. But the idea is, I personally believe every barrio deserves a brewery, a Border X. And I don't say that in an arrogant way or just for money. We deserve good things. Yeah. We deserve to not have to leave our communities, right. to go have a safe and fun experience in a great environment. We should have a place where we can celebrate our history, our events. The Dia de los Muertos is one of the biggest things for us. So my vision is, you know, all through Southern California, we want to open up at least three or four more, probably That's within awesome. The next year and a half.
That's awesome. So, and let us know. We would want to let people know.
Yeah.
Because we have listeners from Texas, from all over the country. And we would love to let them know where the new Border X will be. Riverside is actually a good location.
Riverside is an excellent location to be in the Cheech Museum.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the museums?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so they're going to be doing a thing and we're hopefully be part of it, but they're going to have a little cafe in the middle. I love Cheech. He's got the largest collection of Chicano art and I'd love to be in that place.
Man, well, you guys heard it here first, you know? Hey, man, do you have any other questions?
No, man, just para adelante, dude. And like I said, you're just inspiring a whole bunch of people listening, I mean, watching, maybe somebody across country, somebody in Louisiana, I don't know where, just don't want to start something new, something fresh. Si se puede. You know, that's what I had in my mind the whole time. Si se puede.
If I have one piece of advice, maybe imparting, that I've learned on this journey, is, and I think you were mentioning earlier, things happen. Good things, bad things. Yeah. You can't control that.
No.
You can control how you react to them.
Yes.
And even when bad things happened, if I can control my mind and really think about what it might mean to me, I can pivot and go in a different direction and make it actually be a beneficial thing.
And that's super important. Like being stoic about the situation, you know, you say it, Conrado, and I got it from you. It's like things don't happen to you. Things happen for you.
Yes.
You just have to realize what's going on and then adapt and pivot, you know? So I love that because things are, the only thing that's going to stay the same is change, right?
That's the same. Only thing that's guaranteed.
And you better, that plan, adapt. That plan that you're planning and it's going to be a perfect plan, guess what? There's a tornillo that's going to freaking mess up the whole thing. And so you better plan for plan that there's going to be a plan B, a C, a D, an F.
Yep.
And sometimes it's just better to be fluid.
That's what you have to know.
And it's important to control your emotions.
Yes.
You know? Because you might want to say, no, I don't, you know, I want to keep doing this, even though it's very clear that there's no opportunity there. You know, you got to let it go and say, okay, universe is pushing me in a new direction. Let me see where it is. Y vamos.
And since it is hard, people just don't like change, but you got to cut losses and move on to the next. Yeah.
Man, David, thank you so much for being here. I could find so many nuggets that, I hope that people do get it. Re-listen to this podcast. I did get buzzed with the, I'm not going to lie, like I finished this and if people want to see it on YouTube, you know, my eyes are kind of like my words are, what do you call it? Swirling, like a lot of.
Now you're good. You're good.
But this is awesome. Thank you so much for being in Bell, Barrio Logan. I wish you the best of success. The energy, and I hope the people listening, cause we believe in the law of attraction, get the tea and the good vibes, you know, because every barrio does deserve a brewery, you know? So thank you so much, David, for being here.
Of course, my pleasure, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much.